This is the Everything EV Podcast by EV Powered.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Everything EV Podcast, a weekly show that brings you the latest news, views and opinions from every corner of the EV industry. I'm your host, Charlie Atkinson, and in these episodes we'll be discussing everything to do with electric travel, so whether it be cars, bikes, boats or even planes, we'll have it covered. We'll also be speaking to people from within the industry to get their views on the EV space, as well as other features such as electric car reviews, electric motorsport coverage, and much, much more along the way. This podcast is available on all streaming platforms, so be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to receive every single episode as soon as it's released. And please do go back and check out all our other episodes too. Following Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's decision to push the 2030 ban on the sale of new petrol and diesel cars back by 5 years, we've got Joel Teague, founder of community charging app CoCharger, on the podcast to discuss the decision, the real reason behind it, and what it means for the electric vehicle industry. Joel, it's good to have you back on the podcast. I believe this is your hat-trick appearance on the Everything EV podcast, so I think you're the first guest we've had on 3 times as well. So thanks for taking that honour. Now, like I said, just before we started recording, we've got you on a little bit last minute because it's been a fairly eventful week in the EV industry. So, yeah, first of all, I just wanted to start with your initial reaction. Where were you when you heard the news? And yeah, how did it go down?
I think it was one of those, like a lot of people, where the rumour hit before the actual. I had that sort of sense of foreboding when we were expecting the Prime Minister to announce. And by the time it hit, it was, I think, like everybody, a lot of anger there. And I think that the perceived wisdom is people like me shouldn't get political about stuff. I think you have to now, and I'm not alone in doing it. I think that even being really scientific about it, why have they done it is the obvious question. Why have they backpedaled on this? Just in the last year, I could list you off a dozen countries that have had multi-billion pound climate change disasters, you know. So they're not doing it because of money, really. They know that the costs of not doing something are going to be much higher. They're not doing it for votes, because all the research said that most people wanted the vehicle ban in, they want the green policies. People are quite rightly terrified of what's happening. They're not doing it for the automotive industry, because the automotive industry, bless them, are having a torrid time because of all the uncertainty over this, and especially over the ZEV mandate. They're not doing it for the energy industry, who similarly have been saying, great, keep it in. We need this. We need the certainty. There's only one group that's been asking and pushing back now for 30, 40 years on policies to get us off fossil fuels, and that's the fossil fuel industry. And from what I can gather, if you follow the personal and party money, there's the link you'll find straight away. Not just the Prime Minister. I'm sure you'll have a much more comfortable conversation with the in-laws at Sunday lunch now, but just about all of them. And that's pretty awful. I think they've now hit what the military would call a scorched earth. They're on their way out, and they're looking after their... shall we say, their friends. I think it's an awful thing to have to come to a conclusion of, but I don't see any other explanation for this. It is purely in the interest of the fossil fuel industry. Assuming they've got another planet to go to, I don't know. The fossil oil company's got another planet handy. They've got everything else. That was my thing. Then a day later, I realised, you know what? Because everybody has seen that, because we have had such a fantastically universal condemnation of this, I think it might help. I honestly think it will. I think it will make more of Joe Public wake up to just how hoodwinked they've been. I think it will make those of us working for sustainability more resolved to keep going and to work together even stronger on this. And besides which, they're bolting the horse after the horse. Oh, they're bolting the horse, which is out, right? They are closing in as the horse has bolted. People aren't going to stop buying ICE cars in 7 years' time because of a law. They're stopping buying them now because they are awful tech. And almost nobody is going to want one in 7 years' time. You look at Norway, you look at the trajectory that we're on. It's happening anyway. So the way I see it is it's an enormous opportunity to show the true colours of the people that are making policies on our behalf. It's probably going to get reversed anyway in a year's time, and hopefully we'll turn it to a positive and it will help to just push us in the right direction, because what we're doing against the fossil fuel industry is always likely to be a good thing.
Well, it felt to me like it was a bit of a public step. Like you said, that there are clear and obvious links to Rishi and the oil and gas companies, or the fossil fuel companies, sorry. So it felt like a public sort of appeasement for those guys. But then it's all but confirmed that the ZEV mandate is going to go ahead as well. So it felt like a pointless move to make anyway. So when it is that pointless, it doesn't really make sense for him to do it unless there is a vested interest there or a personal reason to do that.
Yeah, I think it was, I saw in a parliamentary video once, a chap from Private Eye put it very well. He said, when you actually look at it, it is the people you think doing the things you think for the reasons they think. And it's against human nature to want to believe it, but it is that. I mean, you know, you look at these people, there is no other explanation for it. Nobody benefits. And people don't like to believe the worst in people, but you look at it and go, no, this is now flagrant. This is scorched earth. This is take what we can on the way out. You know, those politicians, you know, as Al Gore said, if the fossil fuel industry was anywhere near as good at capturing carbon as it was capturing politicians, we'd all be in a much better place. And it is that. It just is. It is obvious now, and they have not really tried to hide it. I have noticed, by the way, that although he looks like a Boy Scout in a suit, measured corruption in government has tripled since Rishi came to power, according to their own audits. So there is no evidence to the contrary. It is what it looks like. It is awful. At least now it's in plain sight, so we can crack on with going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, something's fishy, Rishi, is what I've been saying anyway. But so you've spoken about how it may actually be a blessing in disguise, really, for the electric vehicle industry. It might, like you said, kick Joe Public into gear and make them realise that electric vehicles are actually the way forward. But what are some of the longer term implications for companies like yourself, companies like CoCharger that exist in the electric vehicle industry? What message does it send to companies like yours?
I think it depends who you get the message from. I think actually the worst scenario, and they don't often get a lot of sympathy, but the automotive industry have been given an absolutely terrible time now because the ZEV mandate's still there, but the political backing that gives them a mechanism to implement it has been taken away. And not just by much, that's gone from 7 years out. 13 years, it's 12 years out. It's crazy. So for them, it's really awful. And I feel bad for them having to manage around that with, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of investments to plan. For someone like us at CoCharger, I don't think it's going to be a massive impact. People are still buying electric cars. That's going to carry on at the rate that it is. We've seen, I think our activity rate is up 27% on last month already. You know, things, and it has not slowed down. It's accelerated this week. It is all ploughing on. I think that there will be a hit because it will perhaps give a bit of ammunition to the laggards. No doubt we'll see the usual ragtops chatting up the usual rubbish, but fewer and fewer people will believe them. And frankly, we can do enough good with the people who are listening and the people who are honest with themselves about this. So although it will cause damage in places, honestly, I think the state of the economy is going to do a lot worse, and we're already in that. So no, I think short term it's sent some shockwaves through, but for us at CoCharger, no, it's not going to slow down a damn thing.
Good. I think one of the other benefits and one of the silver linings from all of this again is it was another example of just
how proud we can be of the EV industry as well, coming out in full force against things like this and shouting out about it. It reminded me very much of the weekend of the Rowan Atkinson article, where we came out in full force and just called it out for what it is. So, yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that as well, what it's like working in an industry that you can be proud of for times like these.
It's been the upside of the week. I mean, this came in when I was on a training course and I was getting asked for quotes and so on while I was seriously paying attention. Sorry, admitting that to whoever was on the training course. The delight of reading not just the unanimous nature of the condemnation of it and how informed and well constructed that condemnation was, as somebody who is permanently having to delete emails where I say what I think and then realize I'm not allowed to say it, I've been put in the dark. Some of the rants have been beautiful to read and to hear, and they've been far worse than things I've said. And I feel a little bit exonerated in some of the things that I've said in the past. I've been very proud of some people who are in far more politically sensitive positions than me, have come out and been unequivocal in their condemnation of this and pointing at causes and underlying mechanisms that even a year ago we might not have dared to suggest. And now it is so plain that we can just say it. And I think there's been some brilliant ranting. I love a good rant. It's an art form. And there's been some fantastic ranting, and I really applaud everybody who's had the guts to say what they've said.
Yeah, I think it was particularly damning for the decision as well when a automotive company the size of Ford comes out and yeah, just calls the decision out for what it is. So it really put it in perspective for me of just how mindless the decision was.
Yeah, it's that was a thing of beauty, wasn't it? It's a really good example. That particular statement, I've never heard anything quite like that before from somebody at that level. And hats off to them. It was. You couldn't interpret it any other way, could you? They weren't trying to please both sides. I think it helps that everybody realizes it's probably not going to be these idiots that we're going to be in charge in a year or so anyway. Yeah, well, that's a whole new idiots, I'm sure. But it does help. It's been really lovely to see. It's a bit of a breath of fresh air. It was like the sort of passive censorship had been lifted.
Yeah, I think so, as well, it's situations like this, again, with the Rowan Atkinson ordeal, where it almost takes something like this for us to speak up in full force. And in a weird way, with all the misinformation that's out there about electric vehicles, it's times like these that are the perfect opportunity for us to shout loudest about electric vehicles. So in some sort of weird way, this, like you said, it goes back to being a blessing in disguise, where this might actually do more good than it does harm to the industry, because it's been massive news. It's been the lead story on the BBC, every news outlet there is. So when it is front and centre like that, more and more people that might be a little bit sceptical of electric vehicles actually get to hear probably more about the benefits of electric vehicles than about the actual delay of the ban.
Yeah, it's a sort of reverse populism, isn't it? And the, you know, if the baddies out there always pick a group to be angry, make everybody angrier, and then get everybody, you know, united on side against them. And we sort of needed that. And up pops this ridiculous government and gives us exactly what we need. And it's easy now to point at the bad guys and say, there you go, that's what they look like. And what perfect timing. Was it on the launch, the actual launch date of Stop Burning Stuff? So while Bobby Liu and Quentin are up there doing their brilliant job that they are with Dan, up pops Mr. Bad Guy and gives them the perfect person to point to and say, they're all part of this misinformation. They are part of an industry that has been pushing back against what it takes to save the planet for 40 years. And they're finally losing their grip because nothing can be done now. The fossil fuel industry is dying. I remember BNP Paribas, not exactly known as a left-leaning think tank. You know, they are right from your neo-capitalist side of things. they released a report, it must have been 10 years ago, saying no fossil fuel exploration project is now financially viable. You are going to lose money. It's a terrible investment. That was a decade ago, from their own most treasured advisors. So it really is death throes now, and I'm loving it. I couldn't have to a nicer lot. You know, the sooner they go, the better, because there are people who are pushing and developing and collaborating their way. So better ways to do things. I mean, yeah, Joe Public's suffering horribly with high energy prices, and that is not down to renewables. That's purely because of fossil fuels and the corrupt system that's put in to protect the fossil fuels by linking the price to gas. So it's all happening, and it's happening at a wonderful speed. And yes, it's frustrating, and yes, we're having trouble here and there, but you know what? It's just a sign. I think we'll look back on this week as the week when it really started to fall apart on the fossil fuel side. I really hope that's the case.
And politically speaking, we don't get too political on this podcast. It's usually quite cheery about the EV industry. No, but it's good. It's a nice change of pace. But politically speaking then, do you think this is not the final nail in the coffin for Rishi, but a sizable nail?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very even about these things. I distrust all politicians equally. I do think actually that the plastic wrapping I just had to recycle from something I had for lunch would make a better prime minister. So frankly, I don't know, let's vote in my friend's pet gerbil. They'll do a better job. They must know it. They know that it's a vote loser what they did this week. It only pleases one group, and that is the people who are paying for them to be there.
And just moving forward then, obviously, with this podcast is dedicated to the EV industry and to is centered around the climate as well and the well-being of the environment as well. So moving on from this, if you were, this is a big hypothetical question, but if you were given the keys to number 10, moving on from this further down the line, what is your roadmap to recovery for all of this, for accelerating the EV, accelerating EV adoption, benefiting the climate, sorting out the climate crisis and focusing on things like that? What is your roadmap? What's on your to-do list?
Oh, that's a big one off the top of my head. I think the first thing is to recognise that the only reason that fossil fuel-driven capitalism works in the first place was that you weren't paying the true cost of fossil fuels. So let's change that. Let's start pricing everything according to its long-term cost. So if you want to give me a single-use container, let's price it to include the cost of dealing with that, disposing of that. If I want to buy a gallon of petrol, a litre of petrol, it should cost what it costs in terms of cleaning up the effect of gathering and burning that petrol. That'll level the playing field. On EVs specifically, it's very simple. I think that with the likes of Charge UK, and the work that's going on in various other groups, we've already gone, when it comes to public charging, from one of the worst to one of the best in Europe. The rate of improvement is fantastic. Can we stop banging on about it and criticizing it now and let them get on with their job? Because that's not the problem anymore. We have two problems with EVs. One is misinformation and a lack of understanding. And the other one is we need to stop talking about public chargers. Not stop talking about it. We need to talk less about public charging and more about alternative-based charging. Because when you remove all this obfuscation and fog around misconceptions on EVs, people with driveways are going to buy EVs. Job's done. But the people without have got a genuine blocker. And I would say this because my company was set up to help solve this. But co-charger isn't the only way to run an EV if you can't have a home charger. There are loads of really, really good solutions out there. We're referring to as alternative based charging, ABC. And what we want to see is that third on every website, in every magazine, in every conversation, we need that third link, that third element, which is between home charging and public charging, there's ABC, there's alternative based charging. We need everybody to know that home charging is not the only way to run an EV. And I think that's the big push, because there are 15 million people who right now are over five times less likely to buy an EV. And they will still be less likely to buy an EV by a long, long way, even when they do understand the truth about it. So for me, that would be the big focus. Let's let's advertise, let's promote, let's make people aware of the fact that alternative-based charging is a thing. We're just about to put a list of all the options and the companies on our own website, because a rising tide floats all boats. You know, Charger isn't the only solution. Obviously, it's a really good one. But what we need is for Joe Public to realize that, yeah, you can do this. There are lots of good ways to run an EV that don't involve having a driveway or a garage. So that would be my big thing on the EV front, alternative-based charging. Let's get it out there and make everybody aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just to focus on Co-Charger then, because I appreciate this podcast has been quite political and it's been a bit of a gloomy week. So if you could just give us a bit of an update on Co-Charger, how things are going, and what the short-term future looks like for you guys. What have you got coming up, just to finish things off?
Wow, it's exciting stuff. We very quietly went from third to second place in terms of UK charging networks and numbers of charge points, which is great. Gone past 5,000 odd now and closing in on number one fast. At the same time, we're seeing a lot of growth. In September, we're up, depending on how you measure it, between 27 and 46% just on August, even allowing for the usual spike in September or usual hike in September. That's a lot. We launched our partnership with Octopus Electric Vehicles a couple of weeks ago, which is wonderful because their customer base, they all get a free charger with their car. So let's get them all signed up as hosts, help more people out of their fossil fuel cars. We've got other stuff coming up with certain large cab companies. We've realized we can make a massive, massive contribution to the taxi industry, where these drivers are having to go electric like everybody else, but sooner, and sleeping in your car at a public charger isn't a good way to live. So we're helping them. What else do we have happening? Fleet, huge thing with Fleet. We've got a lovely Fleet offering where you send us the postcodes of your drivers without driveways. And we tell you which ones have got a co-charger host. We even set up the account and introduce the host and get them charging so that they don't have to spend their paid time queuing for and using a public charger. All this stuff is happening. It's exciting stuff. It's picking up nicely. I think people are realizing just what a lovely free tool that is in everybody's box. So, yeah, exciting times.
That's all for this episode. Many thanks for listening. And if you liked it, then please do check out all our other episodes. And be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from, so make sure you get every single episode as soon as it's released. For daily news coverage, features and much more, you can also head over to evpowered.co.uk. Thanks once again for listening, and we'll see you on the very next episode of the Everything EV podcast.